flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. It is a Phil Simms Wednesday. We'll talk to him in his weekly spot at 8 a.m. and get his thoughts on what's happened this past wild card weekend and what to expect going forward. Divisional playoff weekend, and the Jets search continues, and it feels like it's getting narrowed down a little bit to Brian Flores and Aaron Glenn. Those are the two guys you keep hearing. Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn, Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn. And I like these guys for different reasons, but if I am going to stick to my guns and what type of guy needs to be the head coach of the New York Jets, it has to be Brian Flores over Aaron Glenn. I need a guy who's been in charge of an organization. I know it blew up in his face down in Miami, but I cannot stress that enough. And I'm not saying that Aaron Glenn isn't a great head coaching candidate. He is. But you cannot have your first job in this place. And if I were Aaron Glenn, I'd pull a Ben Johnson if the Jets were the only team to offer me a head coaching job and say, I'll come back next year. I'll make myself available after next season and another year with the Detroit Lions. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I'm doing well. And as a former teammate of Aaron Glenn for 2 years, I would tell you the same thing. I feel like he deserves a chance, but I just don't feel like this is the place. Even though, you know, people are saying, or it has been written in the NFL world, that he would love to coach the Jets because he has fond memories of when he was here and the success that he had here. I understand that. It is a huge job. It is a beast of a job. I've often said that. It is not the easiest of jobs to deal with when you are a coordinator, that you've never had head coaching experience, and you know you're going to be in front of the media every single day. You're going to have to deal with just all the things that go on with the Jet internal organizational stuff with Woody and, you know, his family and Christopher and everything else, which is not easy. I would much rather have a guy that's been down that road, whether it be with the Miami Dolphins or whether it be with the Chicago Bears or the Green Bay Packers or the Dallas Cowboys. I just would much rather have a guy who knows what he is stepping into and hopefully has a staff already put together. That's the other aspect here. I don't know who these guys believe their offensive coordinators are going to be. I don't know if they want Aaron Rodgers back. I don't know whether or not they feel like they can get the best out of this roster the way that it's configured, which is not bad. It's not a bad roster. I wouldn't sit here and tell you that it's one of the top 5 rosters, but I think I could make an argument that it's a number, top 10 roster, not counting the quarterback, because we don't know what the quarterback situation is. We do know that Tyrod Taylor does have a contract for next year, but you're right. I mean, and we've been saying it, that another coordinator
who's never done the job,
no matter how popular he is, or no matter how popular he was as a player here. And I think that the initial foray into Aaron Glenn would be wonderful. I think a lot of people would like that initially, but I want to put up the red warning signs, you know, and I want to put up the lights, and I want to make sure that he understands what he is getting into, if in fact they ultimately fall on him and they want to give him the job. I'm with you, man. I've been with you since the beginning when we were talking about this, because the Jets have been going down this road for years and years and years and years and years.
Yeah, and you mentioned I'd rather have a guy who was in charge of an organization, whether it be the Dolphins or the Chicago Bears. And when you say Chicago Bears, that includes Matt Nagy, who, you know, Mike Fliegelman here, who is the overnight producer and works with us occasionally and does some shows here or there. People listen to radio station a lot, no Fleegs, very, very knowledgeable guy. He is basically a lobbyist for Matt Nagy. So he has decided, big Jet fans decided Matt Nagy's the guy. And when I hear him, he does make sense as compared to some of these other candidates. Well, you know, it's tough to, when you talk about a guy who's been fired before, to get past that initial thought that you had about them. You know, when you first hear that name and you're like, ah, you know, you don't want to recycle that guy, just didn't work. But then when you really go back and you look at a guy's tenure in a particular place, like Chicago, the reason why I really like a guy who coached in Chicago coming to the Jets is, even though the Jets are still very, very different than most organizations, Chicago has had that history of never being able to find the quarterback. It's a organization with a very impatient fan base. They play in a division with a legacy team that is always beating them, and the Green Bay Packers, and a big rivalry there. And he went in there and did have some success. Now, of course, in the end, they ended up having to draft a rookie quarterback. It's Justin Fields, and the whole thing blew up in the 6-11, and that was the end of that. But they were a 12-4 football team. He had Mitch Trubisky. They were able to win some games. He had a season where they were .500 as well. He's obviously an offensive mind. He's worked under Andy Reid multiple times. I don't think you can look at Matt Nagy's tenure in Chicago and say that it's a failure by any stretch of the imagination.
The guy knows how to coach. Brian Flores knows how to coach. Aaron Glenn knows how to coach. But, you know, really, when you're getting down to it, it's really, do they know how to manage games? Do they understand situational football? Do they go in with an idea of how to run a team? This is exactly what Dan Quinn did last year, or has done this year, with the Washington Commanders. He learned from his previous time in Atlanta, went become the defense coordinator. Dallas was around. Mike McCarthy was around the way things were done. He saw all of those things. He was the steady hand that the Commanders wanted with new ownership, and they were lucky enough to have the second overall draft pick and drafted Jaden Daniels. Now he's standing on the sideline and looks like a genius because he's got the player. He's got the quarterback. He's got the player that if they're behind in the fourth quarter, guess what? He can lead them back 10 different times, and they can win one score games, and they can do it a multitude of ways. So that player makes that coach look like he's the right guy for the team. And that's exactly where the Jets are, because they're going to have to draft somebody, or they're going to go through the whole, you know, rigmarole of bringing in another stopgap guy. And do they consider, you know, Tyrod Taylor the stopgap guy? Would a guy like Matt Nagy want to keep Aaron Rodgers here? They run similar offenses. It's the West Coast hybrid offense. Look, he's had success with Andy Reid. You know, he had a modicum of success with Chicago. He knows how to run a football team. I think he's a guy that can handle a press conference. I listened to a million of his press conferences, and I was a part of the score out there when he was the coach out there.
Yeah, so basically, really what my question is to you is, does that experience in Chicago unlock that thing that we are looking for the next Jet head coach? It's someone who can deal with this cesspool, this blender of jetdom, this everything that we talk about where guys come here and just get caught up in the tornado and spit out. Very smart guys.
Let me just give you this. I'll give you an example that we're all living through right now. So, you know, President Trump went back in 2016, took office, wasn't really sure what he was doing because he wasn't a politician. Now he comes back. He knows what he's doing. He's trying to get his guys and his people all put into place, so when he does take office, he's ready to rock and roll. That's the same thing with a second-time head coach.
Second-time
head coach doesn't do well, doesn't finish well. He's scarred by the experience, but that experience is going to make him a better coach wherever he goes next, because he's going to know where the landmines are. He's going to know where the potholes are. He's going to know where the speed bumps are, and he's going to be able to get his staff in a line. And I would think, you know, the quicker you react to this, now you may not be able to because these guys may still be working throughout the playoffs, but like if you were Brian Flores and you wanted Brian Flores as your head coach, right now is the time to do that, because Brian Flores then can hire the guys that he wants. And I'm assuming that Woody Johnson would give him the money that he needs to hire the coordinators that he would want and the coaches for the individual position places that he would want as well. If you wanted to do that, you would do that now. But I also think what's really important is that they get the general manager right. The general manager has got to be right as well. He doesn't have to be a big-time personality guy. He just got to be a guy that has had a track record of some success in the NFL somewhere else. You know, Joe Douglas had success. He was basically unknown when they hired him away from Philadelphia. And to me, Joe did a good job here. I'm not going to kill Joe except with the, you know, maybe the Zach Wilson's draft. Everything else, I think, you know, actually he did reasonably well and stayed quiet. He was below the radar, which is the kind of guy that I want for the Jets, because I want that alpha male to be the face of that franchise, to actually give the franchise itself a shot in the arm and also give the fan base something to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how they're handling this, whether they're going to hire the GM first. I mean, at first I think it's nuts to not hire the GM first, but then again, when we talked about getting a guy like Mike Vrabel, if you had a shot at him, which you never did once the Patriots fired Gerard Mayo, then you bring in that guy and then say, okay, let's find a guy that'll work with Mike Vrabel. I don't know if there's anybody else out there that the Jets are considering that they would hire that head coach to then decide who he wanted to work with as a general manager. And so now I'm back to hopefully they could find that general manager first, who is then going to sign off on that head coach.
All right, so if you are going to go down the path of, okay, let's go steal people that are successful in other places, because that's basically what's going on here in the NFL, then it would be Borgonzi and of course, Matt Nagy would make a lot of sense.
Shents.
That would make a lot of sense because obviously they know each other. They're coming from Kansas City, which has been the most successful franchise over the last 5 years, due in large part because of the head coach and the quarterback, the special quarterback they have. But those guys have been around. They're the ones that, you know, that have had a coach, Patrick Mahomes, straight up. I don't think that there has been any drop off from when Eric Bieniemy left to when Matt Nagy came back, because it was Matt Nagy's he was the offense coordinator before.
So you're going Nagy today now. I asked you yesterday, Nagy or Nagy. You said Nagy. Now you're going Nagy. You're confusing the hell out of me.
I don't know. Whatever.
No, I want to know
it's
what
like
it is.
It's Hartenstein and Hartenstein.
No, it's Hartenstein, actually.
Hartenstein.
I need to know where we're going. We need to be on a united front with this.
I'm saying Nagy.
But you haven't been all morning.
Well, it's early. I could change.
So we're saying we, as Boomer and Geo, united front, are going Matt Nagy, not Matt Nagy.
Al.
Matt Nagy.
There you go.
Okay, but that's AI.
Matt Nagy.
Yeah, that's Matt Nagy.
We'll put in Boomer's name. Does it pronounce?
Actually, I Googled, how do you pronounce Matt Nagy? And it came up as this, like a pronunciation guide for his name somehow.
Okay.
Matt Nagy.
All right, I was always a Nagy guy. But then I hear Nagy a lot. And we can't be doing this back and forth. It's like Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, well, Matt Nagy does have two Super Bowls. You know, much like Steve Spagnuolo, is it Spagnuolo, Spagnola?
Spagnuolo.
All right.
Spags.
Spags. Let's just call him Spags.
Yeah, just
call this guy
Spags.
Nags and call him Spags.
Nags and Spags. Yeah, why not? Who probably will be on their way to another AFC championship.
But again, you know, yeah, right. But again, they are successful coaches and front office people that are with a successful franchise. And, you know, even Andy Reid had to leave Philadelphia and he had to get another start in Kansas City. You know, the moment that Philadelphia decided it was done, guess what? He got a job immediately in Kansas City. So, I mean, these things happen to all these coaches. I mean, Bill Belichick was fired. You know, Bill Parcells has been fired. I mean, they've all been fired. It's just the nature of the business, and things turn stale, and eventually, you know, teams are going to move on from their coaches because their fan bases are restless. That's exactly what happened in Chicago with Nags.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would just think if you told me it was going to be Borgonzi and Nags, I wouldn't be disappointed with that. If you had told me that it's going to be, I'm trying to think who maybe Brian Flores has crossed paths with, maybe Dimitroff and Flores, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think that these are the types of pairings that I would believe that the Jets would be looking for, because the last thing you want to do is, I don't think you want to put two guys together that have never met.
No, you can't do that. I mean, that would be very Jet-like if that were the case. But then again, if that is the case, then you got to hire the general manager first.
I think if you sat up there and you had Borgonzi, right, and you had Nagy, you could sit there very comfortably as the owner of the New York Jets and say, we are hiring two people that are coming from the preeminent organization in terms of winning in the league. Now, the other two organizations that have won a lot, they just haven't won Super Bowls over the last 5 years since 2018, and it correlates to the fact that they drafted quarterbacks that year, are the Bills and the Ravens. The Bills and the Ravens know what they're doing. That's why Joe Shane got a job. That's why Brian Daboll got a job. That's why you would look within the Bills organization and see who's a part of the decision-making and scouting. Those are all the reasons why they're interviewing people from those organizations as well. But that's really what's going on here. Like, I want a piece of what Kansas City has. How do I get that piece? And here are guys that have been in that building for an extended period of time. They've seen how it's been done. They have had to fix a roster over and over and over again. Once they gave Patrick Mahomes that huge contract, they gave Chris Jones that huge contract. They had to let Legarius Sneed go, one of their best defensive backs. And these are the things that I think people like Woody Johnson, Jerry Jones, are all looking at when it comes to, okay, what is the pair that I can find that can recreate the success that they're having in Kansas City?
If Borgonzi ends up being hired, that's going to be hilarious, because the second that I saw his name, I was like, that's the guy who's coming here, because I could just hear the phone calls. I could hear Joe Beningo just because of his name and people calling up and being like, what a terrible draft by Borgonzi. Honestly, this Borgonzi. And I said that the first time I saw it. There's been 50,000 GM candidates. And if he ends up coming here, then like maybe I'm a soothsayer.
Right. Maybe you are. But I'm just giving you an example of how I think the Jets have got to go about this. I mean, the Giants went about it that way. I'm not saying that it worked out the first year. And maybe things will work out because of the success of the draft this past year. But they brought in two guys from the Bills. And because the Bills have had so much success, have drafted really well, especially on the defensive line and the offensive line, they've made the right free agent pickups. They knew when to get rid of Steph Diggs. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things that have gone on here that the Bills have done, and you want to try to recreate some of that success. But the problem is you've got to find the quarterback, man. You got to find the playmaking quarterback that makes everybody just look like they know what they're doing. So when Jaden Daniels has the ball in his hands and it's 3rd and 10 and you're in the fourth quarter and you're on the road and the people are screaming and you can't recreate that in practice, and somehow this kid is just unbelievably unflappable and he makes plays. I mean, that's just the human being playing the position. You're giving him the play calls, the play sheets, and the roadmap to victory. He's got to execute it. So both of these franchises around here have got to find that type of guy before anybody's going to have any success.
Well, that's the most important. I mean, it really is. The head coach is right there behind it, but the most important is that guy. And bad coaching staffs can ruin quarterbacks, but I think when it's so special, and a guy like Jaden Daniels, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, I mean, obviously pairing with Andy Reid made it a dynasty. But really, it's if you have that guy that's so good, that's the thing you pick first and foremost.
And look at how like Jared Goff, Ben Johnson, and Dan Campbell are. You know, that didn't get off to the greatest of starts.
Well, he wasn't the Ben Johnson was not the offensive coordinator when they first started there. You know, he took over at like year two or three of Dan Campbell's tenure. I think it was like Jim Bob Cooter back in the day.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
But Ben Johnson did not start year one. He was there on the staff, but he did not start year one as the offensive coordinator for them. And then when he did and then became the offensive coordinator, things went to a different level. And we'll see maybe if Ben Johnson goes to Dallas. You know, that is now one of the things that there's some, if there's smoke, there's...
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fired.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I just want to go, and I know you've been saying this, but I just want it one more time on the record from you.
Yeah.
So we are a day removed from, you know, you having to deal with the loss of your Vikings on Monday night. Mm-hmm. And I just want to go on record because I feel like you are the preeminent soothsayer when it comes to your team, the Vikings, and you are right. You are right. The whole – so as soon as J.J. McCarthy went down and Sam Darnold took over, you felt really comfortable that they were going to have a good year. Who knew they were going to win 14 games?
Yeah, I didn't think it would be that good. I thought Sam would play well, but I never thought.
You figured probably 11-6.
Yeah, they have a winning season.
Yeah, maybe 10-7, get in as a wild card, but, man, 14 wins is insane. Sam Darnold on the Vikings next year.
In no way.
No way.
No way, no how.
And is Daniel Jones on the Vikings next year?
I think so. And I think that's why they went out and got him when they did, because they knew even then when Sam was playing his ass off that he wasn't going to be on the team next
year. Okay, that's good. That's all I want to know, because you know what? That's looking into the future. That's seeing things. And I happen to agree with you. I know that Sam cost himself a minimum $100 million, if not more, when he goes to the open market, but he'll be playing somewhere else next year unless he really likes it there and wants to take a lot less money. But the Vikings, yes, are set up with a young quarterback on a young contract, one of these younger contracts where he's not making that much money, and they can go out and build around him, assuming that they really, truly believe that he's going to be a difference maker.
If Sam Darnold is back, that means that one of two things have happened that I don't think are likely. One, that there was some sort of setback with J.J. McCarthy and his injury, and he's just not rehabbing right, and they don't believe that he's healthy, and all the reports are to the contrary of that. Or they think he's some sort of Johnny Manziel delinquent, which is not the case either, because this guy has, all they've done is gushed about how much he loves football and how he's been around the building and so involved. So he's going to be the quarterback next year. He always was going to be the quarterback next year. And I think Daniel Jones is the backup. So
okay. Well, I mean, like you've said it, and we're going to hold you to it. And then when it does happen and plays out this way, we'll go back to it and we'll say we have it on record at least 10 different times where you see it, I think the way that I see it, But I think that Sam Darnold has minimum cost himself $150 million.
Yeah, and honestly, that just stinks because it came crumbling down in a matter of 2 weeks.
Yeah, he had three games to prove himself, and two out of those three games, unfortunately for him, you know, what he proved was that he's not worth the investment.
That is correct. Jerry Recco is here this morning with an update. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. A lot with the NFL this morning. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin did meet the media Tuesday, kind of put a bow on 2024. You know, he talked about Baltimore and they're the better team, and also admits not easy to say that.
That is not comfortable to say, but it is truth. And for us and for me, moving forward, is having sober conversations such as that, and then beginning the process of unearthing why.
So he's okay, gonna, that's why.
That is true.
Hey, remember, Zay Flowers wasn't even on the field.
Yes,
that's true.
Yeah. He says he is ready for the task at hand.
There's obviously a lot of work to do. To be quite honest with you, I'm energized in terms of beginning the process and doing it. Because I'm a competitor. I love this game and this business, even when it's miserable.
Which it is right now. He was asked a very pointed question. Is the organization stuck right now in neutral, essentially?
Stuck is kind of a helpless feeling, and I don't know that I feel helpless.
Okay, and then at the end of the press conference, he was asked the question everybody was wondering.
Mike, at least one team has reached out to inquire about your availability. Understanding that you have no trade clause in your contract, what's your message to any team that may reach out to the Steelers to gauge interest or availability in your services?
I have no message. Save your time.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to be. They took a chance on him. They have had his back. It's the best job for him. I don't think that's just something that's going to end unless Mike Tomlin himself wants it to end. It doesn't sound like he does.
I mean, who's their starting quarterback next year? That's the question.
Not going to be Russell Wilson. Who have to say goodbye to him and his peanut butter skin.
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback.
That's the point. Because both Russell and Justin Fields are free agents.
Yes, correct. And I did like this one from him.
I'm not a big-time comfort seeker. And particularly in circumstances such as this, I don't view myself as a comfort provider.
So go F yourself.
So very funny. Interesting there in Pittsburgh. The Lions face the Commanders.
I got to use that to my wife the next time she comes to me for something. It's like, I'm not a comfort seeker, nor am I a comfort provider. Leave me alone while I watch my YouTube golf.
Oh, man. Here is Dan Campbell. Nothing easy about this game coming up.
We've got a really good opponent here. The guy got a dynamic quarterback. They're playing good offense, good defense, really good coaching. And we got a work cut out for us.
Yeah, no question. If they want to advance and not fall short, here's David Montgomery. It looks like he's going to be a contributor in this game.
It's refreshing. I mean, be back in a position to where I can help the team. I missed it, so I'm happy to be back.
And so that'll be the Saturday night game. You've got the Texans and the Chiefs first, then the Lions and the Commanders. Then you move to Sunday. You got the Eagles and the Rams. Nick Sirianni was on WIP. And he was asked about A.J. Brown in the book. Are you okay with what we saw the other day on TV?
No, I'm definitely okay with it. Everybody has their, you know, the crazy thing is it's been happening for, you know, he's been reading this book on the sideline for a long time. It just so happened that a camera saw it this week and kind of, you know, I don't know if made a big deal about it or not.
I have never seen
Jalen like Hurts said himself that he never saw that on the sideline.
Why are we lying then?
Well, because he's trying to defuse the story. He believes that if he squashes it or says that he does it all the time, that people aren't going to talk about that as opposed to the game that they have this week. So
all you have to say is, it's goofy, it's fine, we move on. Now people are going to go back and look at games and be like, Coach, you said he does this all the time. There's like not one image or video of him ever doing this before.
Right. I mean, this looks like you're not using me. I'm just going to sit here and read a book as if I'm in a library.
Yeah, I mean, and he definitely did that on purpose.
Gosh,
we all know that.
And then you can make the case the marquee game is Sunday night with the Bills and the Ravens. Here's Von Miller on Sirius XM NFL Radio. How do you deal with Lamar? We were just talking about him doing what he did to the Steelers.
Going against Lamar Jackson, you don't want to rush too conservative
but you don't want to be too reckless at the same time. It's you just got to play your game. And at this point in the season, you know, our coaching staff has to trust us, and we have to trust those guys. He's going to make plays.
And you're going to have to live with the plays and hope they're not monster plays. So that'll be 6:30 on Sunday evening on CBS, the Bills and the Ravens to wrap up divisional weekend. All right, not a lot going on elsewhere. The Knicks didn't play last night. The Nets did have a late. How about McMonagle? Came on at 12:55 last night. That's an early start for the overnight ride, as he likes to call it. Nets beat the Blazers, a relatively quick game. Brooklyn, they're playing themselves out of a lottery pick, is what they're doing, as they did win in Portland.
D'Angelo Russell back in the lineup, out of the right wing. Could run a high screen, shoots a three, and hits. D'Angelo Russell, in his first game back since January 4th, has 11 off the bench.
Yeah, and he would finish with 13 points and 9 assists off the bench. Chris Carino
is Brooklyn in the house? I thought so.
On the fan, Cam Johnson, a team high 24. The Nets now 14-26 on the season with the 132-114 win. The Cavaliers are 34-5. They beat the Pacers 127-117. Donovan Mitchell had 34 in that game. And the Thunder win again. They win in Philly 118-102. So Oklahoma City 33-6. The Knicks are in Philadelphia tonight. The Nets visit the Clippers. That's on the fan at 10:20.
Did you catch Fliegelman and McMonagle talking about the types of food you could get at movie theaters this morning?
I did not.
Yeah, they went back and forth and named probably every appetizer in the book, the two of them. Which, of course, I mean, when Fliegelman rattles off food, this is such a weird take that I have, but he can memorize menus. There was a time he told me when I was going to the Mets game, there was like a pregame party. He gave me 15 food options that were there. He's like, they got a poutine by the Seaver Gate. Go around, they got the sausage and peppers. If you want in the bun, you can get in the bun, but then you don't have to get it in the bun. If you got the sweet tooth, they got the donuts around the other side, you know, by the statue. I'm like, what? So they were going back and forth on it. It was...
like myself, he's not missing many meals.
Yeah.
So maybe he takes good note of all this.
He definitely does. But those two guys, I mean, that was... And it was a light day, but that entertained me. Anytime that you get two guys talking about mozzarella sticks at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm in.
All right. You had the Garden last night. Was where St. John's played Georgetown, and we found our guys John Minko and Brandon Tierney.
And Richmond's got the hands now. And the ball. Wilcher for three on the right. Minko! Oh, Simeon Wilcher drains the three-point shot, and St. John's goes ahead 59-55.
And Lindstrom pretty damn good. They're 15-3 now, 6-1 in the Big East, and Georgetown is not a doormat like they were. They've played much better, but St. John's went 63-58. R.J. Lewis had 19. Aaron Scott, 14 points and 9 rebounds in that game. Tonight, you've got Seton Hall playing at Butler and Fordham facing UMass. Your Rangers. They had a lead. They were close to winning, and then they didn't.
Shot by Rantanen, save. They put it in the rebound. Lehkonen with 1:13 to go has tied the game for the Avalanche.
And then they would wind up.
Yeah, I will say they're playing much better defense, playing tougher. They got some of their guys back, Hedl and Kreider last night. You know, they're getting goals from Sam Carrick and Adam Enstrom. I mean, you know, that's great. It's great to give those guys and get those guys to have goals, but, you know, your top line's got to score. But I will say defensively, they're playing a lot better. And, you know, the fact that they ended up coming away with a point is a big deal, but they should have won the game.
Yes,
time.
And that's why it's a missed opportunity for Peter Laviolette.
I mean, they competed and did everything we wanted to do for 58 minutes. It's really difficult walking away and not getting that extra point.
They did not, as the final score was 3-2 last night. The Senators shut out the Islanders 2-0. And, you know, Matt Lachlan usually is on fire when he has these goal calls. Not when the Devils lose. Devils lost in a shootout last night.
Anton Lundell.
Ooh.
With a chance to win it for Florida. Comes in on the near side, moves in with a shot, scores over the shoulder of Markstrom, and Florida wins in the shootout.
Yes, they do. And that, of course, on the Devils Radio Network. Nico Hischier had the game-tying goal in the third, but ultimately the shootout does end the Devils. They lose 2-1 to the Panthers.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It was very interesting to watch this whole story unfold with Chris Mad Dog Russo and Timothy Chalamet in the Bob Dylan movie
And anybody who's ever worked with Dog, you know Dog from this radio station. I mean, it was just hilarious to watch. So I guess what he does, the first take show with Stephen A. Smith, I don't see it all the time, but they'll open with him screaming about something because he's good at that. You know, what are you angry about today? And he'll scream about something. So he ends up screaming about the fact that he has talked about this Bob Dylan movie more than anybody in the media. Nobody knows more about Bob Dylan than me. Nobody spent more time talking about this Bob Dylan movie than Timothy Chalamet. Nobody's invited me to a premiere. So he goes off on this thing, and you got Stephen A. and Molly Queerum back there like, shut up. You know, this is the dumbest thing ever, right? So this is how he opens the show. Then, like a couple hours later, Timothy Chalamet himself has on his Instagram story a screenshot of Dog yelling, and then he writes on the screenshot, Chalamet does, let's get Dog to the London premiere.
Wow. You would never, that would be something that would I would have never thought of.
Right, so the next thing you know, people talk and they figure it out, and Dog brings his daughter out there to London, and it was last night. And there's all these pictures that you would think were made by artificial intelligence, where it's Dog and his daughter in front of the paparazzi. Dog, there it is on there CBS Sports Network. A complete unknown is the name of the movie. He's standing on the red carpet. So this picture here was taken by a paparazzo that was there covering, or a professional photographer, I guess, covering this open. And then there's actually a video of Chalamet and Dog meeting, and of course Dog very touchy, very handsy. Dog, you know, he has to go and hug him, so he goes up, he's hugging him and he's patting him on the back, and, you know,
where's Cox?
Chalamet, the professional he is, he goes, thanks for coming. He's like, thanks for inviting me. And there's another video where they take a picture together. And he's going, he's talking to Chalamet. He's like, hey, listen, I did that whole thing as a goof, as a gag. I never thought this would happen. And by the way, Stephen A., he knows nothing about Bob Dylan. So you think that he shouldn't, because he goes, Chalamet goes, we got to get Stephen A. to one of these premieres. Yeah. You know, we have a couple other around the world. And he's like, oh, no, he doesn't deserve to go to this. Yeah, he doesn't know anything about Dylan. Come on. So it was just, it was amazing. It was like, I could imagine that, you know, Dog meeting Timothy Chalamet like that probably had the impact that it had on me when I met Dua Lipa. You know, it was just like one of those things, like someone you really admire and really want to meet, and then you finally get a chance to.
You would think maybe the New York premiere Dog would go to, but the London premiere.
Well, yeah, so he was.
Deal.
I think he was upset he wasn't invited to the New York premiere, and that's what the impetus was this for, and he gets flown out for the London premiere. And his son, Colin, who's done some shows here on WFAN during the holidays, he has a job down in West Palm Beach, I believe, on a sports talk radio station. And there was a clip that Dog himself had retweeted where Dog, I guess, his wife had to take another kid somewhere else. So, like, the house was going to be unoccupied for a while. So he called his son Colin to come up from Florida to house watch so he could take his daughter to the premiere. So, like, he totally, the kid's like, man, like, I've never felt worse about this. Like, you call me up, I'm thinking, I hear the story, I'm thinking I'm going to the premiere in London, and it ends up he's taking my sister and I got a house watch.
You know what I think about? When I think about this whole situation with Dog, it's like one thing turns into another thing, then becomes a whole thing.
Yeah.
I get that, and I always, you would know better than I do. I worked with him very little, but I do know that when it is him, it's like, it's never just one thing. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
There's tentacles that come off of every aspect of the thing that he is trying to get done.
Yeah, and I think one of the main reasons why he's been so likable in his post-FAN career in like the last few years is because you could see the joy that he has in doing this. I mean, even all the success he's had in the business, all the people that he has met, you know, and he's, you know, in his 60s now, you just see the joy that he has in this, and it's like, that's pretty cool.
Well, First Take has given him a whole nother
yeah.
platform, and his goofiness is evident there, and you see it. And Stephen A. buys into it. Molly buys into it, which is great. I mean, he's instant energy when he's on that show.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. And he's instant energy on any show, for that matter.
So I was thinking, though, Dog did that. Is that a Peter Schwartz kind of move? Where he goes and uses a platform to complain about something and want to do something, and then someone reaches out and gives it to him for free? Or did he never expect something like this would happen, and it was a slow sports day and he decided to complain about it?
I would think that, by the way, it's not only is he getting something out of it, but so is the movie.
Oh, yeah.
The movie is getting enormous publicity because of it.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing. That's what the movie gets out of it. That's what Chalamet gets out of it. And, of course, Dog gets to be in the middle of all this, which seems to be the most ridiculous thing of all time.
True. So you don't think that this was type of move?
No, I do not. I do not. I think both sides get something out of it, legitimately get something out of it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Because there's a bunch of people, I'm sure, that watch First Take that had no idea that this movie was even a thing and maybe would go see it now because of the hype that's there. I have not seen it. My parents went to go see it, and they really enjoyed it. So I know it's gotten some good reviews, and Chalamet's gotten a lot of Oscar buzz and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think, is it Ticket Bash? What's it called?
Oh, Sports Bash?
Sports Bash.
Yeah.
I said Ticket Bash.
Well, Ticket Bash is the company that sponsors Sports Bash.
So he's Sports. I don't necessarily know that, Sean Winters going on Sports Bash is Dog going to the premiere of this movie.
Yeah, but I mean, it just is it high level schnurs?
No, I think when both sides get something significant out of it and you can make it into something, and here we are talking about it,
yeah,
then that means the movie won just as Dog won. So I think that's kind of like an even deal.
So our buddy KFC, Kevin Clancy, does a podcast with his partner there, his podcast partner, Feidelberg. And they do this thing called Ask the Internet or Answer the Internet. And one of the questions was, what sex would do better with the other person's parts? Was the question that KFC asked Feidelberg, meaning would a man do better with a woman's sexual parts, or would a female do it better with a man's sexual parts? And Feidelberg misunderstood the question, and his answer was Timothy Chalamet. And it was one of the funniest moments. Those guys could not breathe for 3 minutes. So now every time I see him, that's what I think. And by the way, you know who he's dating?
Timothy Chalamet. No, I have no idea.
Kylie Jenner.
Oh.
Yeah, one of the Kardashian clan, which does not, to me, make sense.
Why?
Because I feel like they're looked at in Hollywood as
pariah?
I wouldn't go as far as pariah, but didn't earn it, a little bit of trash type of thing.
Okay.
And he's the golden boy, good side of Hollywood, prop this guy up, next generation actor.
That's why she's nuzzling up next to him.
Yeah, but I mean, I bet you there's PR people around Chalamet We got to get someone a little classier than this, with the whole thing. But hey, they seem to be happy, seem to be doing their thing. And there was Christopher Mad Dog Russo
right in the middle of it.
Right in the middle of it.
See, that to me is the ridiculous nature of it is what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, of course. I wonder, does Mike see that and get jealous, you think? I could have gone to that premiere, but I hate London. I don't like it. It's wet. It's cold. It's gloomy. Big Ben, totally overrated. So, I mean, they asked me.
Okay.
Do you think he could actually come out and be like, I'm happy for him that happened?
No, No. I don't think so, no. But, I could see him listing world, what would you call it? World, Big Ben.
Ranking those on his podcast.
Yeah, ranking those on his podcast. I can see that.
All right.
The top 10 sightseeing destinations.
We all love Mount Rushmore, but is it a top 5 in the world? I mean,
is it a Mount Rushmore of
Mount Rushmores?
Yes.
Yeah, you could definitely see that. I mean, you got to go Pyramids 1. You have to. I don't know where you fall on East Island.